Welcome to the Desert Sanctuary with Carl and Laura Forehand.
Often when we have doubts about religion or simply want to ask questions, it can feel like we are wandering out into the desert.
We would like to invite you to join our sanctuary, the Desert Sanctuary.
We've tried to pick guests that would resonate with and challenge us and our fellow seekers here in the desert.
We believe that a key to the journey is to keep asking good questions, and we believe that all stories are sacred.
Our hope is that you will find life and healing for your body and mind, and that you will be able to be where you are and be who you are.
And now, here is our show.
Hi, and welcome to the Desert Sanctuary. This is the lighter side of the desert with me and my son. His name is Jordan. Forehand, of course. But welcome to the show, JD. How you doing?
Takeo. Good to talk to everyone. Or I guess talk to you, but good for everyone to be listening to me, I guess.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
It's 8 in the morning on Sunday morning here in probably 10 p.m., 10:15.
9 o'clock. You guys just had daylight savings.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't exist here.
We moved forward, which is another stupid thing we could talk about someday that I wish would just go away. Right now, we have plenty of daylight to get home from. We go out on Friday night, and we can get home before the coyotes and the deer are out and smash into our car. So I'm again it. I want to change it back to no change. Anyway, we're going to talk about some other things, though, today, right?
Lots of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, the State of the Union was quite the deal. For you know, I don't know what kind of news you watch in Taiwan, but we, you know, have heard just from all the media outlets, it's just been nonstop. Well, what, you know, two old guys, what are we going to do with, you know, two old guys? And can't we get somebody younger? And like, you should have thought of that earlier, but it just went on and on and on. But then Biden kind of knocked it out of the park on the State of the Union. Even though Marjorie Taylor Greene's heckling him from the front row and, you know, trying to be kind of conservative, woke about, you know, an immigrant that, or someone that was killed by an immigrant, you know, saying, say her name, you know, kind of mocking the other side. And he handled that real well, you know, got through it. Even Lindsey Graham was in the front row laughing and enjoying the speech and everything. And Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is making weird DeSantis faces behind him. But he just knocked it out of the park. And then the Republican response from Senator Britt was horrible. Yeah, it was just weird and, you know, overacted, gave some real disgusting coverage to I can't remember what it was exactly, an immigrant death or something. It was something that went back to the Bush administration, but she played it off like it was current and it was because of the border and all of those kind of things. But it just, you know, kind of flipped everything where now we're talking about different things. We quit talking about the age. And so I'm glad to get past that, you know. And let's talk about issues and things like that.
But, yeah, but no one really wants to. I mean, no one in power wants to really talk about the issues, because that would mean they got to do something. Then Congress may not be able to take more than half the year of vacation. So
yeah.
Gotta make sure we just make it about these cultural issues, these like moral panics. That is what they always do, and then nothing ever comes of it.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk today about influencers. So, recently wrote something, and then I closed it. And I can get there pretty quick. About influencers, I don't know, you know, how much you would hear this in Taiwan, but we hear it quite a bit here. My friend who's a pastor, I still follow him on Facebook, and I say something to him every once in a while, and he just kind of avoids real deep conversations about anything. But his thing is influence the influencers. That's the goal. And this is, you know, people preaching this now from pulpits. What I think they mean is, you know, when those influential people to accept our gospel or our belief system, you know, and then put people in power, put people into governments. And we saw that here in our area, in St. Joseph, Missouri, where they didn't want a homosexual pastor, a gay pastor, on the library board for whatever reason. I mean, he had a, you know, a drag queen celebration show or something at his church that was organized by someone else. But anytime those types of people go in the library and see a book about two moms or anything like that, they freak out and want to ban everything and all that kind of stuff. So this church that you and I used to go to, between our second and third church, decided to get rid of this, get this guy off the library board, who everybody in the library system loved him. They were just doing policy, or not policy, they were just doing administrative stuff, like whether we repair the sidewalk or those kind of things. He wasn't making any choices on books or anything like that, and it shouldn't matter. But they just decided to get rid of him, and the Freedom of Information Act, they were able to get the emails that this cert, this church sent him in bulk, you know, saying, you know, remove him, or, you know, you're not going to be considered a conservative anymore, and all that kind of stuff, you know. But their plan, you know, right now they're trying to get an hour of the school's time for kids to come for religious education once a week.
Because they really don't want people to be indoctrinated.
Right. And and then, you know, so they're pushing that, even though they have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and there is a Christian school in town, you know, that I haven't ever heard is way too expensive or anything like that. It's an option. And so that's where we find ourselves in Missouri. We have these churches like this intending to put people in every area of government at every level. And I just see a lot of problems with that.
I think it's fine as long as we take away their 501c3.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be involved in politics, that's fine, but you're not a nonprofit, like a, you know, apolitical organization anymore. Sorry. Like, start paying your taxes then.
Yeah. Because you're not really a church anymore. You're a pack, you know.
Exactly.
And so I said, you know, it proceeds from the wrong motives, because most of it's based on fear. You know, it's, we've got to save our country. Time's running out. Our enemies are winning. The world's winning, you know. The world's taking over our government and so on. Of course, nowadays it leads to lizard talk and all kinds of weird shit, you know. But it just, you know, kind of comes from the wrong place. It pursues the wrong goals. You know, if you want to follow Christianity, then Christianity taught through Jesus, don't lord over people, don't control others. That's not the game we're playing, you know. Turn the other cheek, put down your arms.
Pray in your closet.
Yeah, go to your closet. Don't take over the government. We certainly, I think, could learn from Jesus to speak truth to power, to protest, to make our voice heard, and so on. But it never works with control. You know, control just produces the wrong results, right?
Yeah, you're also supposed to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. So
yeah, and in my opinion, it promotes the wrong people. You know,
yeah. So of course, it's exactly the same thing that all social media does, which it promotes the most inflammatory people that are going to get the most vitriolic reaction, because that's what, I mean, that's what sells, you know?
Yeah.
It goes back to the old days of even like print media and stuff. Like if it bleeds, it leads. It's just like the most vile stuff. That's what we have to print first, because that's what people will pay for.
Yeah. We don't have to imagine like what will happen. We can see it now. Where you have someone like Donald Trump elevated to president because he just has no conscience. He's not, you know, he just keeps going. And even when he's wrong, when he doesn't understand, when he just keeps believing that he's the smartest guy in the world, and he'll follow that agenda, even, you know, following a Christian, hardline Christian nationalist agenda, even though he doesn't understand what 2 Corinthians is, you know, just and really doesn't understand much of anything.
That's the nice thing about the whole thing on the right now with like Donald Trump is the chosen one, is that it doesn't have to follow any line. He may not know everything about the Bible, but you know, he's really turned his life around. You know, you can talk, oh, well, didn't he cheat on his wives? Yeah, but he's turned around now. He's not the same man he was before. Like, right. It's just, you can't win. There's no rationale with any of this. It's like, no, he's a philanderer and a bigot, and his dad was in the Klan, and like, I guess, you know, sins of the father, maybe we shouldn't talk about that, but I mean, his properties were dealt with legally for basically like not allowing black people to live there. Like, but none of it's going to stick. It just doesn't stick because he's a hero to a certain segment of the American populace. I think it's slipping to some degree, but yeah. I mean, like you were talking about with the two old men, I think there is something to that. And it's certainly for the younger generation, there's a lot of people that are upset with that and like not going to ignore it. And but for both parties, you have to run someone who is of the party, or at least control a large amount of the base, someone who's trusted. Then you have to run these older people. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm not ageist about it, but it would be nice to have some sort of fresh ideas instead of status quoism, which is kind of what we're getting. I mean, I won't do a whole breakdown on Biden, but I think he's doing a pretty decent job foreign policy wise. I appreciate that he's said that he'll come defend Taiwan multiple times, but I don't think he's really done anything domestically. Unfortunately, that's not to say he hasn't, I guess I shouldn't say he hasn't done anything, but I think he's done far too little. But then you can't push these kinds of people and then expect people to show out in the vote. And that's what especially the Democrats need right now. But then again, I don't know. I think Republican voters, I listened to like a couple podcasts about these kind of, what are they called? Like focus groups. And it sounds like a lot of the people who have risen in the Republican Party, people are also souring on him. Like, of course, Trump, but also, we saw what happened to DeSantis. Like, everyone was like, oh, he's going to be the next Trump. And then he immediately was, everyone's like, oh, he's got zero charisma and he makes weird faces. Like, no one's voting for this guy.
Right.
So I think pretty much all they have right now is Trump. Because even, like you were saying, MTG and these kind of people, I think in a lot of ways they've fallen out of favor because they're just, I mean, we talked about some of that before, but it's just that once you see them and they're in the spotlight 24/7 and they just show their whole ass, everyone's like, okay, yeah, this is like kind of cringe. Maybe we're not going to support this person as vocally anymore.
Right. Yeah. And Josh Duggar, Jim Bob Duggar, Lauren Boebert, you know, it's just, you know, you kind of forgot that the idea of Congress was that they're legislators, and one of the best people for that is a lawyer, you know, that understands the law, that can talk rationally and can argue without being silly, or without fighting, like my Oklahoma senator, you know, who let's throw down right here. So, you know,
I will say in Taiwan, maybe people know about this, maybe they don't, but you can Google like Taiwanese legislative. Like legislator, we call it the legislative UN, Y-U-A-N, and they fight all the time. And sometimes I'm like, maybe that's just what they should do. Maybe they should just beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
Because at least then it's entertaining.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously they shouldn't. Like, fighting is, you know, violence doesn't solve almost anything. But at the same time, sometimes it's kind of refreshing. Because it's more frustrating to me when they do the thing like that, and then they're like, you know, buddy-buddy across the aisle when, you know, they're behind closed doors.
Yeah.
I just don't like when it's fake. If you really feel that vitriolic, then, like, maybe don't throw hands. Again, violence, not good. I don't encourage violence, but you gotta stand behind what you say.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is silly. It is, like, very childish when you see that kind of stuff, but it's...
Yeah. And I see, Marjorie Taylor Greene for the State of the Union dressed up like a TGI Fridays employee, you know, had her hat on, her t-shirt, and her, you know, the t-shirt that said, say her name, you know, and all that. And Biden just kind of looked at her like, wow, you're kind of weird.
Wearing a t-shirt, isn't that a breach of, like, congressional dress code?
I don't know.
She
had a jacket on.
Okay. I know a bunch of people on the left have been reprimanded for, I think one person wore a full burqa and got reprimanded for it because they were trying to make a political statement. And was it Bowman? I forget who it was, but someone wore a hoodie to support Trayvon Martin. And same thing, they got reprimanded for that too. It's like, no, you can't do that.
Anyway, the
double standards.
The senator that had the stroke and wore shorts and so on. There's been issues around him too. I don't see him as a Marjorie Taylor Greene type of person. He is unique and flies his own way, but he's pretty serious about issues and so on. Anyway.
Yeah, Fetterman's an interesting guy. I've got certain issues with him, but I don't think he does it for attention. I think he's just kind of a shorts and hoodie kind of guy, which I can empathize.
You can relate, yeah, for sure.
So the latest
iteration of all of this is the Heritage Foundation, which I'm not sure if it's the exact same group that does the, you know, we were a Christian nation thing, but the Heritage Foundation is the most influential conservative group in America, at least by, that's what they say about themselves. Definitely Christian nationalists, but they have started this effort called Project 2025, which is definitely Christian nationalism. And I came to this by Kristen DeMay, who wrote Jesus and John Wayne. She has a DeMay Connections blog, it appears, and we've tried to interview her and, you know, followed that book and so on. Mm-hmm. But she kind of lays out, and she's basically just reporting on what all the other sources of information she could find on this Project 2025, which reminds me of the contract with America in the 1980s. You know, mm-hmm. We're going to put people at all levels of government. We're going to vet them and make sure they're exactly right. We're definitely for Christian nationalism. They want to fire 50,000 government employees, federal workers, on day one. Mm-hmm. And they have a 100-day plan in a 1,000-page handbook, you know, that includes, you know, and to me it's a little scary. The people that support them, people like Hillsdale College, James Dobson, Family Institute, Liberty University, Family Research Council, Turning Point, which is becoming bigger and bigger here.
Oh, yeah. TPUSA is, it's toilet paper USA, in my opinion.
Yeah, indeed. and so she kind of lays all this out, that their goal is if they can get a Republican into office next time, it's just a 100-day plan. They have, you know, I think we know person that ran for state representative here in Missouri, talks about how all these conservative groups, you know, are banding together. They're you know, creating generic legislation, you know, to be implemented at all levels. It's just a Christian nationalist takeover. You know, so what have you heard?
It's nothing new, though. I mean, I read the article that you sent, but that's exactly what they always do. I mean, there was there's been numerous times where there will be groups similar to that, whether it's about Christianity or just about conservatism in general, where you'll see they'll print out a bill and you look and there's the watermark for like that think tank still on it, because they literally just it's like a Mad Lib. They
cut
just
and
copy
paste.
And paste it.
Cut and paste.
Exactly. Yeah. There's control C, control V all over that document. And it's not surprising. It's exactly what you would expect, just like laziness and like, okay, well, this is just kind of, we'll just take whatever our donors kind of give us, which is, oh, my dog's going to slam my door. Sorry.
Oh, there we go.
They got to do it every time because you wouldn't want to give me any peace. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? It's, the one bright side that I hope for is that there's a lot of incompetency. I mean, you look at kind of what happened last time Trump was in office. It's just a lot of stuff didn't get done because, I mean, you said, what, it's a 100-page document? Good luck getting him to read the cover.
No, it was 1,000. It was 1,000 pages.
1,000. Okay, well, again, good luck getting him to read the cover page. So, but the scarier thing is that there are people behind him that will definitely do their damnedest to get it enshrined in law and or to get these people fired and all these sorts of things. I don't know.
So you know what that worries me about government, the federal employees, because you know my solace is in that. Okay, maybe you know we don't have a good choice for president, and people say, well, they'll get an office and mess everything up. But the president has a limited amount of power. If you keep the three branches of government, which they're trying to, you know, erase one of those lines and doing way different things with Congress. But one of the reasons things continue on, no matter who is there, is because of, you know, lifetime federal employees that have been doing that job for decades, you know, and keep the trains running. I'm experiencing disability payments right now, and the insurance changes when you go over 2 years being disabled, and those kind of things happen pretty automatically. It's pretty reliable. I haven't had to get on the phone and cuss anybody out, or you know, it's gone fairly smooth. And the reason the government keeps going and the military keeps functioning and things like that is federal employees. And you're going to come in and throw a grenade and all of that. It's not smart. If you want to take, you know, if the Republicans want to take the 4 years of their next administration and systematically go through and analyze what's wrong and, you know, but what it boils down to now is, do you support me? Will you break the law for me? You know, we saw that with the investigation into the Justice Department when Trump tried to find a loyal that he could put in charge of the Justice Administration and to do what he wanted to do, which was illegal, which overthrows the government. Anyway, so this is called the lighter side of the desert. Got awful serious, but
it happens.
Yeah, I'm kind of optimistic that the legislators are quitting. Father Time stepping down. What's his name?
McConnell. Yeah.
McConnell stepping down. Pence refused to support Trump, which is you know, in normal times, it wouldn't surprise me because, you know, his followers threatened his life, you know, but in these times, I'm still surprised that he did that.
Yeah, totally.
A few cannon.
It it is still crazy to me that they, like, people kind of, like, are still like Mike Pence, like, he's disloyal. It's like, they were literally, they brought a gallows to the White House, or not to the White House, to Congress, and were like, hang Mike Pence. Like, I think I would be a little bit, maybe, quote unquote, disloyal as well.
Yeah.
And people are just like, I can't believe he's not loyal to Donald Trump. Mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the values of any organization or person or group or that I think in my mind is a part of integrity. It's a part of, you know, it's sometimes you have to take a loss because it's the best thing for everybody. You know, it's not just important that I win. I need to take a loss right now. We need, and the Republican Party, in my opinion, needs to do that. Take a loss. Get back to your values. You know, figure out what you're really about. Investigate some of your own corruption and weird things that need to be fixed. You know, and then maybe you'll win next time. And if Trump would have done that in 20, when he lost 2020, and just said, oh, okay, I lost, but I'll be back. There wouldn't have been, you know, 91 indictments and all of this chaos, you know, that leads towards a dictator. Liz Cheney said, you know, she's vowed to do anything to stop him from being anywhere near the White House, is what she says. But they were talking about somebody else, and the reporter was saying, well, you know, if this person takes a strong stand, they may not get elected next year. And she said, so what? You know, if you don't get reelected, you can go do something else. But principles matter. You know, this is serious. You know, anyway.
Well, unfortunately, principles don't matter anymore. Cloud matters. Becoming famous matters. Those are the things that matter now, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, as the kids say, you should hold this L, but no one's going to do that anymore. Because again, it's all about cloud chasing. It's about how, you know, who can be most famous, and expecting Trump not to just pathologically lie, I feel like, is it an exercise in madness. You're just never going to, I mean, he can't help himself, I think.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. And I don't think the sycophants that he puts around him aren't going to either. I mean, it's like asking, you know, an underboss in the mafia to say that his boss is doing a bad job or that he lied about something. It's just not going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, so what is it? What's the phrase? Hold the L? What was that?
You can say hold this L, which is just take the loss, buddy. But
okay.
Yeah. You're not going to get it. It's not going to happen. No one's holding L's anymore. Everyone's got to win all the time, and if they lose, they got to lie and pretend like they won, unfortunately.
But yeah.
Let's be honest, the Democrats do it too. When Hillary lost, it was all just blaming young people and stuff like that. Why didn't you guys push any policy? Why didn't you do anything for us? Like,
I think it was their own fault she didn't win.
I think if Biden loses, I think it's his fault as well. He could have stood behind unions more. He could have done things like push public transportation, push more. He could have done a lot of things. And again, I'm really appreciative for him in terms of international relations, in terms of Taiwan, but I think in terms of domestic policy, if I was in the United States right now, there's a couple things they've done where they've made it better for student loans. You can basically, it's pretty easy to do like income-based repayments now, which is like much more affordable, but you'll be in debt for the rest of your life, which is not great. He could have just canceled all the student loans. Even if it didn't work, at least he tried, and then he still looks like the hero.
Yeah.
Didn't do that. He could have legalized marijuana. Or at least took it off, like put it at like a schedule, you know, schedule 5 or whatever. Didn't do it. It's just, I don't know. Unions, he could have supported the unions way more. I think there's so much that could have happened that just wasn't done. And it's because he's just, he's just an old head. Like he's old school Democrat. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I always go back to the on our podcast, which we haven't done for a long time, my Ari and I, FCP, I have a drop that I play sometimes, which is just, it's literally Biden saying, I try to prostitute myself, as I like to say. I don't, I'm not going to get it exactly right, but you know, they wouldn't have me and they told me to come back. So he's just literally saying like, I try to sell myself out. I try to take all the donor money, but I couldn't get it. And it's just like, that's the system. Like, and I think he's, I don't think he's the worst president. I don't hate him. And I think he's done some good stuff. I think we have to take a measured approach, but it's just, both parties are just, and they just want to keep things going as they're going, because it's working pretty well for them. Yeah. They're working well for the American people. Not exactly. But
I feel the same way about churches. You know, it's, yeah. We have these white male toddlers running churches, you know, and it's like, we don't want it. I don't want any of this. You know, you're not right, but the person you're arguing with isn't right either. And it's like, I don't want to say tear down, burn down all the churches, but I want to say it's not accomplishing what you think it's accomplishing. It's causing damage. It's harming people. We had an interview with the guy that tries to convince churches to become trauma-informed and helps investigate the misuse of power and things and things they do. And he said, you know, number one, the goal is not to save the organization. You know, the goal is not to save your political career. The goal is don't hurt people. And so,
isn't it wild that you have to say that?
Yeah, but you do.
Stop, you absolutely do.
Stop harming people. Well, we're doing something really important, which usually boils down to we're just trying to get bigger and we're trying to, you know, be in control and control the narrative and all those things. Mm-hmm. But you're hurting people. Well, you know, that stuff kind of happens.
You got to break a few eggs if you want to make an omelet.
Yeah, and we're...
What can I say? Yeah. You destroyed a few lives. It's sin.
Yeah, but what we're doing is important, and it's... But what are you doing? You know, well, we're helping the poor. No, you're not. You're only spending 2% or 3% on actual, you know, helping the homeless population.
When you're spending, like, less than NATO spends on... or less than Sweden spends on NATO funding, you're probably not helping the poor.
That's right.
You need to reassess your life goals and what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I had a good experience. I think you would have loved this. I don't know if I told you about it. I went to support mom. We volunteered at a trauma-sensitive schools deal. Mm-hmm. So I took registration, you know, and checked people in and things like that. But they did a poverty demonstration, really, really good.
Oh yes,
I told you about this. I told you about that.
I can't remember if we talked about it on the podcast or not, but you definitely talked to me about it.
Yeah, it was real impactful. One of the things they said, kind of in summary, you know, they said for middle class people, currency is. Achievement, education. So a parent in a middle class environment might say, are you challenging my kid? Are you getting him ready for college? You know, can they compete? You know, that's the currency is achievement. But she said in poverty situations, the currency is relationships. And it matters, you know, if a teacher has a relationship with grandma, grandma can get Henry to do more than the teacher will ever get them to do, because it's based, because relationships is sometimes all they have.
Yeah.
And
well, the other side of that too is just that there's like social capital involved. The fact that you have when you're a middle or upper class family, you have clout in the community. You can influence the school board, like we were talking about with churches earlier. You can make sure that maybe the teacher gets a talking to by the principal. Whereas if you're a working class family, you got to rely on other people. So you have to have those relationships. You have to have the community.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the money to buy your way into those spaces.
Yeah. And so somehow, you know, we need to rediscover that you know, what's important is relationships, not if we win or not, you know. I think we can be ambitious, you know. We can be moving forward, trying to change the world, doing all those things, but you can't forget about relationships and that people matter. And it's not just about winning. And especially,
really sounds like you want to start handing out participation trophies right now.
Huh? It does to me.
Just kidding.
I know.
I'm just giving a hard. I know. I just assume that's the
answer response
the right wing would give. Yeah.
Sounds awful woke. did you know that
you don't want to crush everyone beneath your heel? You are woke, sir.
Yeah, I'm too woke. So, did you hear that Alex Jones turned on Trump?
It's been up and down. I will say I listened to a podcast, which I will, if people want to hear it, it's very interesting, but it's by two Chicago comedians, and they literally listened to his podcast. But unless this is like very, very recent, it's been up and down, because he's said both, because this is exactly what Trump does too, and a lot of people like who are very famous in the right wing echo chamber, is they will say both things at the same time. They talk out of both sides of their mouth constantly. So
yeah.
Jones would be like, you know, I think we really need to focus on Trump. We need to be careful about him. We don't know if we can trust him. And then the next time we're like, he did give us the poison shots, but he's a phenomenal president. He's our only hope, last hope, folks. We gotta vote for him. Also, buy my dick pills, because they will absolutely give you lead poisoning.
Yeah, that he.
But so
he definitely.
So what is the news?
So he definitely turned on the anti-vax stuff. You know, he's upset that Trump changed his mind on one thing, and then it was really mostly about the anti-vax. But he was talking in language like "hard stop, it's over." You know, we're breaking up. I mean it this time. you know. I can't hardly watch Alex Jones.
It's I don't know. It's like funny and painful at the same time. But it's from what I've been gathering, it seems like he's in a real pickle, we might say. He's not doing well right now, because he's possibly gonna have to pay out like a lot of money that he just doesn't have, like possibly like more than $1 billion, which just like I think a couple hundred million he already has to pay for sure, but we'll see. I mean, he's made a lot of money. It's just like Trump. Like, he's got a lot of money, but he doesn't have, like, if he really gets in it, he doesn't have enough money to do that now.
That's right,
because there's a lot of people speculating right now that he might go over to Tucker Carlson's outfit, because I listened to one of his things recently, and he was like, just take it away from me. Just take it. It's fine. And it's like, that sounds like you're about to like go into bankruptcy, and you're just gonna give up and then just go work for
someone,
probably Tucker.
Another clown show.
Precisely, yeah. But it's interesting, because people who are like really, really like conspiracy theorists, like far, far right, like anti-Semites, like don't like him. They think he's like a shill for. He's a Zionist shill or some nonsense. Like, I've heard people say that to me, and I'm just like,
which one?
You're an insane person.
Which one? Alex Jones or Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, Jones. Yeah. I mean, Tucker Carlson has literally admitted that he just lies. Like, he admitted it. Like, he's like, yeah, I just lie sometimes. Like, he doesn't care. Tucker Carlson does not care about anything except for money. I think that's literally all he cares about.
Yeah, the thing he just did in Russia was ludicrous.
It was also terrible. It was horrible. I don't know if anyone's listened to the full interview. I have. It's bad. It's I would say, and then again, I'm going to say it was objectively bad. Now, again, that's my opinion, so I guess it is subjective. But like, he literally is like he went there to support Putin, and then he makes both of them look bad.
Right.
Like, just, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah. It was so funny, the shopping cart thing with the, you know, you put a quarter in and... They do that at one of the grocery stores here. Like,
it,
I can't remember.
They do it all over the United States. It's preposterous to say that. Like, wow.
Wow, that's so ingenious. So ingenious. Now the homeless people can't get the.
As if a homeless person couldn't get a quarter, sir. Come on, man. Like, almost, I can find a quarter without asking anyone for one. You just look long enough. Like, come on. That's ridiculous. Not to mention the fact that people just leave their shopping carts lying around all the time. Like,
yeah. And I've been to those grocery stores. There's even, at those grocery stores, people don't want their quarter back, so they leave it in the parking lot still.
Exactly. And so, that's what I'm saying. It's just, it's...
That's kind of a way to make a quarter, because if you find a stray one, then you go... After you're done, you put it back and you get your quarter, get someone else's quarter back. So
you got 50 cents, you're making money for shopping.
What a system. That's so ingenious. so smart. And then, you know, the deal with the groceries, they're only $100 a week. So what are we doing wrong in the United States? But Russians only make $200 a week. So it's 50% of their income for food.
The other thing is, where is he shopping? Yeah. He's not shopping at, like, Walmart in the middle of the Midwest. Because as much as they just try to... And, I mean, the bow tie should be a dead giveaway. But, like, as much as these people tell you, like, I'm just one of you. I'll wear flannel. Like, he wears flannel all the time. It's like, that doesn't make you a lumberjack, bud. Like, you're not salt-of-the-earth people. You're a rich... heir, like he's an heir to the, what is it? It's not Tyson. One of the frozen food companies. I forget what it is. Anyway, yeah. People are screaming at it at their cell phones right now while they're listening to this podcast. But anyway, like it's like an Arrested Development when the mom says, like, how much does a banana cost? Like $10-$12. It's like you just have no connection to reality because you don't shop. You have your butler go shop for you.
Right.
Like you have your maid go shop for you. So it's like, just stop. Like, I think that's the thing we need to get back to in politics, is like asking those like candidates or pundits, like those kind of questions. Like when they're like, oh, it's really hard for farmers. All right, how much a bushel of corn, Iowa, right now? Let me know. They just won't know. And then you're like, okay, yeah. Well, you're a fraud. Like how much is a gallon of milk right now, like middle of southern Mississippi?
Bushel of corn's $4, by the way.
See, man of the people, run for office, pops. That's what he needs to do. He'd get in office right now.
No, I don't know for sure. That's what it runs over time.
I believe.
And soybeans are about $10 a bushel. From last time I checked, which was years ago, anyway.
I just don't think that most politicians even know what a bushel is.
Right. That bushel's of the devil. I heard about that.
I don't think they get it.
So
those are the hard hitting questions we need to ask. That's all I'm saying.
Let me pose something else to you. So, my assessment, I'm not as deep into some things as you are. I think about, you know, other things that you might not think as much about, but I know that you understand this. So, I am at the end of the baby boomers. I'm 64. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's right at the end of it, the last year.
Right.
And
born in 64, not 64 years old, to make it clear for everyone.
Clear. I'm 59, I think, or something. Somewhere around there. So, but the baby boomers, in my opinion, a lot of the problem is with baby boomers. The people they're electing are the generation before that, which was Greatest Generation or something else.
Yes, I believe that's right.
Double Zero.
Or the Silent Generation.
Yeah, the Silent, yeah. So, in my opinion, the people I see, that are continuing to make the problem worse and to keep it going are the baby boomers. And do we more than anything have to wait for that generation to die off? Is it a factor? Is that the right factor? Or, I don't want to say that one, it's just one thing, this one thing, and then everything will be fine. But
yeah.
isn't that a huge influence, or am I just imagining that?
I think that's a big influence. I don't know, because the other thing is that there's just always going to be, there's always going to be a reactionary element. They're always going to pop up. It's so easy to just radicalize people, especially if you have a large segment of the population that lives in poverty or that, doesn't have social skills, and thus, like you look at incel type stuff. It's just okay, you don't have any social skills, so you can't find a girlfriend, so then you just take it out on all women. These kinds of things.
Oh, we watched Ted Bundy last night. We watched this thing about Ted Bundy last night. To relate to what you're talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's another level, I would say, with the...
Sorry for interrupting your thought.
We could talk about serial killers for an hour. But anyway, I won't get off on a tangent.
Yeah, go ahead. That's what you're saying.
Cults and serial killers are my little side thing that I find fascinating, even though it's a little bit morbid. but yeah, I think it'll change. But again, I think it's so easy to radicalize people, especially when we don't have community, and with the internet and with this kind of stratification of society into, we're just at home all the time. Even myself, and I'm kind of an introvert, I spend a lot of time at home. Thankfully, I had good socialization, primary and secondary when I was young. Spent a lot of time outside, learned critical thinking skills, at least somewhat. I mean, not a humble brag or anything, but can interact with people and stuff like that. But a lot of people don't. They just don't grow up in homes like that, and that can be because of poverty, or it can be because of neglect, or whatever it is. And so I think it's gonna be hard, and I think a big thing, and probably this is a hallmark of, maybe it's a little bit trite even to say on this podcast, because both you and I have probably said it a million times, but it's building community. And real community, not, faux community, okay, if you bow down, you bend the knee to me, then I'll,
Or if you agree with me 100%.
Exactly. Yeah. If you 100% agree with me on everything, then I'll accept you. I don't know. I think that's something that we have to get away from. I mean, I have lots of different friends, lots of different acquaintances that I disagree with on a lot of different things. And this is both sides of the aisle are going to get upset with me on this, but it's just you just have to be in contact with some of those people. And there's the other side of that where it's if people are real, if they hurt you, if they're hurting you actively and you tell them and they don't stop, then yeah, sometimes you do have to cut them out of your life. But I think the big thing now is just everyone's just someone was toxic to me or whatever, and so I just cut them out of my life. It's I get that. And if you're if you have some sort of neurodivergence or something, it makes sense. Maybe you can't handle that. But for people that can, you can't just do that all the time. Yeah. I mean, you can, but again, you're not going to reach anyone that way. You're going to find people that agree with you 100% on everything, and you're not going to change any minds, or you're not going to grow yourself for that matter.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
But it's hard. I mean, it's hard, and it takes work, and it's, I don't know. It's just tough. But yeah. It's something we're going to have to do. And again, yeah, community, and I think community online is great, but meeting people in person, I just feel like you can say so much more, you can be so much more open, because if you say something online, then you have random people coming into your discussions, and you have people throwing bombs and being like, we didn't word this right, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, it gets so petty online, because again, clout chasing, I think a lot of it comes back to that.
Yeah.
Where it's just why are we doing this? This is so, I think I've probably brought up this example before, but doing photography, you just have people pop in your mentions that are just oh, well, actually, I think you probably should have shot this at a F F8 instead of like an F5.6 because like it actually looks really bad. Like you didn't like the contrast is all off and like you it's like over it's overexposed and blah. It's just like, dude, okay, that, like. But I've also had people that come in and be like, hey man, like I think like you could like did you like what happened with this? Like you could shoot it like this and like they're friendly about it. Like and then it's the exact opposite feeling. I'm like, okay, cool. Like thank you, man. Like I appreciate the input. You're nice. Like you said some positive things and then you like gave me some potential things that I can improve on. That's cool. But like just people so nasty online because it's keyboard warrior type stuff where you can just say whatever you want and feel tough.
Yeah.
I remember both of us are gamers, I guess. We both played games before.
Yeah.
Like you just have like you have kids that are like 11 years old being like, I'll beat you up, like I'll kick your ass, man. It's like, dude, if I saw you, I could kick you in the face. Like I could literally probably kick your head off your shoulders. Like, let's not. And I'm not like tough guy again. Violence doesn't solve anything. But it's like, dude, you're like 100 pounds soaking wet. Like, please stop.
Yeah, I remember those squeaky voices and online.
Yeah. It's always something about copulating with your mother or something, and it's like, yeah, brother, you do not have hair on any part of your body except at the top of your head. Please stop with this nonsense.
Yeah, I was just thinking as you were talking about Christian nationalism, I would think day two it would fail because, in the United States we have 200 Protestant denominations.
Yeah,
you know, and it wouldn't take very long to go, well, yeah, we're all Christian nationalists. We're going to convert the world through force to Christianity. But wait, but infant baptism, that's not right. You know, you can't be a part. You know what I mean? They would just exclude everybody
devolve into infighting. Of course it would.
Yeah. And you even see that, I think, in the Congress now. You know, where to some degree Democrats are able just to go, we all kind of agree pretty much on most of this, and so we're just going to move forward. But you see the clown show on the other side, it's just as quick as they make some traction, they just kind of shoot themselves in the foot.
They have to, because again, it's part of it might be real beliefs for certain people, but in a lot of cases, it's just about my faction, aka me, because I'm the face of it, is not getting enough traction.
Right.
And so I have to shift it over so I can be the co-leader now.
Yeah, indeed. So, anyway, so we say the lighter side of the desert, but we get awful serious pretty fast. That's okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
Life is serious to some degree, and we can laugh about it at the end, but I think it's important to talk about it. What's going on, and what does that mean to me, and what does it mean to other people? So we're gonna sign off. You got anything else you need to say? Got anything else you need to share with us today?
I had a million things that I thought I was going to talk about. I don't have anything specific, I guess, but pet my dog. I don't know. I just think I'll always stress, just please everyone, try to get offline. Or if you're in online communities, that's great. Like some people need that, people in rural areas. I know I got a lot of benefit from having like online communities when I was younger, but just take those into places that are like more private, even if it's online, like take it into a Discord chat, take it into somewhere where it's not like fully public. Don't just be having conversations in that way, because I don't think it's useful. And I think we just get into issues where we're just doing that sort of, I keep using the word clout chasing, but I think it's apt. I think that's going to be a big thing for a lot of people. It's just, yeah. And also,
well, they're banning TikTok, so that's a start, right?
we'll see if that happens. Second of all, I think that first of all, they're not like, I have to critique this because it's such like people not really knowing what they're talking about. Like they're not banning TikTok. What they're doing is they're forcing them to sell. And I'm worried about like my if I was on I'm not on TikTok, but if I was on TikTok, I'd be worried about my information going through the Chinese government. And for anyone, like, this is, okay, see, you got me started. Now I'm going to go on a rant. So it gets me frustrated because I see all these people who are like my generation or younger, like millennials, Gen Z, and they're like, oh, like it's like, why are you banning TikTok? Like, it's been so good for me. Like, that's good. And they'll be like, you're banning this. And like, but it's, what about data privacy on Facebook? And it's like, that's a good point. Push for a data privacy bill. That would be good. But I also don't want my data to be going through the Chinese government, because guess what? They're very anti-democracy. And on top of that, if you're like, whatever, like you're like the quote unquote, I use this kind of in a comedic fashion, but like the wokest of woke people, you should hate China. They hate gay people. It's like a lot. Like, you should not be happy with, if you're an LGBTQ plus person, you should be very worried about your data going through China. Because if you transfer flights through Hong Kong, Beijing, that's sketchy territory. You'll probably be fine because they don't really care, but I don't know. All I'm saying is, I don't want any government, especially the Chinese government, to have my data.
Yeah.
That's all. But, okay. I went on a side tangent, but...
Yeah, so it's a worthwhile thing to consider and investigate and look into and all those things. But like you said before, it's like anything else here, where it just becomes a political football, and what does Donald Trump say about it, and what does the Bible say about it, and all that.
It's performative, yeah.
Yeah, and so it becomes very showy, and, you know, how can I get more donors and things like that, more than doing what's absolutely right for everybody, or the best possible answer for everybody. So no one gets harmed, protect ourselves to some degree, and, show kindness to others and things like that. Woke things like that.
Woke stuff like that. Hashtag woke.
Yeah.
Hashtag woke mob. Yeah. But then, I hope we can get to that level. I hope we can all just stop. I hope we can all just log off. I've in the past 6 months, I've basically stopped using Twitter, except to post. I just post my photos and then get off.
Yeah.
It's so free. It's so nice.
Yeah.
I'm
not in the Twitterverse anymore. I've been
That's probably the way to go.
Yeah.
It's probably the way to go. But I do still have an account, but I don't do anything on there except for post my stuff and then get off. But I just noticed every time I just spend less time on social media. Here's the thing that I would tell everyone too, and I tell my students this all the time. They'll be like, oh, I just like scrolling last night. Like people talk about doom scrolling or whatever. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like happy, like you're just scrolling Instagram reels or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always go, they'll be like, oh, like I just got on my phone. I just spent like 2 hours scrolling. And I'm like, tell me one video that you watch. And most of the time they cannot tell me anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, so what you were doing was doing drugs. Like you were doing drugs last night.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And I'm like, you're literally just stimulating your dopamine or your serotonin.
Yeah.
And you got nothing out of it. You literally remember nothing. Like you might as well, and of course I wouldn't suggest this, but you might as well have shot heroin or got drunk or something. Like it's the same thing. It's obviously probably slightly less detrimental to your body, but anyway.
Right.
It's like, just don't. Like, it's so bad for you. It's so bad. Just pick up an ebook, or at the very least, if you want to use your phone, watch a YouTube documentary or something. Like, but I just think social media, especially like the reels, the TikToks, that kind of, and all of them have it. I did shout out TikTok specifically earlier, but all of them do that stuff where it's just like, it's like drug videos where you're just 5 second clips of like things that just make you feel something in your brain.
Yeah, sometimes we need to talk about how people in the audience want to be on stage. I think that's what drives a lot of attendance at, events and things like that, is that the people in the audience want to be on stage. So they support that person, and you look at that side of it sometime.
Mm.
Because right now, got at least a couple... people that have given me advice, and they seem to say, let it come to you instead of trying to make it happen,
Yeah.
We're all imagining, you know, elevated in some way when we watch things endlessly and imagine ourselves being popular and having lots of followers and those kind of things. It may be. Yeah. So this week we're kind of putting together a new book, and we just decided, like we did with one previous, just to have it as a PDF, have it as a resource instead of making it into a book and promoting it and doing all the things and selling and those kind of things. You know, let it come to you. And then if it's really popular and people want a book, it's pretty easy to make a book nowadays, you know. Yeah. But let some things come to you. Get in touch with nature. Like you said, get off the electronics for five
touch
minutes.
Grass.
Touch the grass. The funny thing about nature is most people, I just need to get out in nature. Oh, there's bugs out here. And like Monk says, nature's dirty. But, you know, get in touch with it. You know, get grounded, those kind of things. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, well, a couple things. One is that I think the same thing with like that, like almost kind of like a living vicariously through the whatever, the pop star or the you know, the YouTube or whatever. I think a similar thing that you can see in the United States is people that buy guns. And don't come after me, people who love guns. I love guns too. I think they're awesome. They're obviously can be quite dangerous, but I find it vastly fascinating to shoot them. I think it's really fun.
Yeah.
Don't come for me left wing either. I think we should.
That's my fault for cultivating that in you.
I got too many side tangents here, but I literally told my students the other day, because guns, you can't own guns in Taiwan, like unless you're like, I mean, the military has them obviously, but like the citizens cannot own guns. And I was telling my students the other day, I was like, oh yeah, my parents, you should let me go out with a single barrel 20 gauge shotgun just like when I was like 12 years old and just like shoot stuff. Mm-hmm. They were like, what? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like they also laughed at the I would say like, oh, we went and played with guns. They're like, you played with guns? Like you played with guns? Like, kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
that's a whole side issue.
This is true.
I was gonna say something else, but I forgot what it was.
Yeah, it's all right.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, you think of it. We'll pick it up next time. We don't stay on topic very well anyhow. So
we're both talkers. We both like to kind of ramble on about stuff. But
yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. In some ways, that's how you process things. It's how you know, I write also does the same thing for me. Helps me know what I think. It helps me kind of dig down a little deeper beyond just what I've been told. What do I really feel, you know, real deep down? So we got to shut her off for today. We'll be talking in a couple of weeks. We're going to continue this on and figure out how to make it better. Or maybe not. Maybe it'll just be like it is.
Seems like people enjoy it enough as it is. But yeah, we'll always be trying to make it a little bit lighter, hopefully. This one had its ups and downs, but...
Yeah. I'm at least slightly worried about what we're talking about, but so yeah, it's pretty serious for me.
And people will be all right. If people are really upset about it, well, let's have a conversation. We'll start a Discord server and we'll all just talk about it.
Yeah,
not in front of anyone.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, that's okay. I can start it up. It's all right. It's just a chat platform, but anyway.
Yeah.
That's okay. The point. We just have some conversations. We don't need to cloud chase. Stop cloud chasing, everyone.
Yeah, sounds good. For all the listeners out there, we thank you for joining in. As always, be where you are, be who you are, and be at peace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Desert Sanctuary Podcast.
Remember, all who wander in the desert are not lost.
We believe all of our stories are sacred.
We are always here if you need someone to hear your story.
Check out our blog on Pathios and also our YouTube channel.
And stay tuned for our Leaning Forward Conference.
Remember, we love you.
And be at peace.